Amen. Thank you so much for being here. In just a minute, we are going to have a little bit different order to our message. We normally at this time, we bring up the lights a little bit more than what they are right now, so you could see the word and take a few notes. But we're getting ready to have a video about a couple from our church. It's Stephen and Diana Bennis. And we've been in this Hebrews chapter 11, and we have been talking about faith over the last several weeks. And faith is it's a small word, but pretty big topic. It's kind of hard to wrestle with sometimes, because we wonder, in what we're doing, are we living out the faith that we feel like God must be calling us to live? Sometimes we just simply isolate faith down to, well, I need to be able to believe in something that I cannot see. And we began the series by talking about how, in Hebrews 11:1, it does not mean that we should just kind of cover our eyes and jump off the edge of the cliff blind, because, you know, it just hopefully what we do is we just kind of land in a net that is God. Faith is something in that first verse that we're supposed to own. It's supposed to be ours. And if it's personal and I own my faith, anything that I own, anything that I purchase, anything that's mine, I use that. It does no good to buy something you never use. So in owning it, it must be something that I need to use. Then we continue that verse to realize that faith is proven, but the only time something is proven is once a test has happened. Now, like every student that's ever in school, if you could just say, you know what, new rule for school, no test, there will be celebrations all over the world, right? Well, for us as Christians, if God just kind of one day said, well, you know, I think I'm going to change something, no more test, our hearts would say, man, we would celebrate. But then there's this understanding that if you've ever been through any level of test and trial in your life, when you come through it and God teaches you something during it or out of it or in it, and you know Him better and you understand Him more, you don't want to say, well, I'm thankful that happened. We say, God, I'm thankful that even though that happened, if you sent it, thank you. If it was not you, I always tell people, if the test is because of a sin, God doesn't will sin. But even in sin, God can teach great things. We thank God for what He teaches us. And in Hebrews 11, we get down to a point that we've kind of come to as we walk through this chapter, where it just goes through and it lists tons of names. And these are great stories, and it mentions just little glimpses of stories. But there's also this thing that we grow in is when we hear someone's story that we really know and that we're around on a regular basis. So as I've been praying through, okay, God, you know, help us really understand what you've been walking us through. Help us to kind of really connect this. We want to step out of some of the names in the story this morning, and God really led my heart to Stephen and Diana, and I've been able to learn over months and months more about their story. But I also felt like God was just kept putting them on my heart for us to really see what He's doing. Before you start to hear a lot of their story, I want to read this one verse. It's verse 6 out of Hebrews 11. It's towards the first part of the chapter, but it really is a hinge moment where God is directing us after this verse. It says, "Now without faith it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to Him must believe that He exists, and He rewards those that seek Him." And just that, the seeking Him, was really what God knitted my heart together with y'all's story. Because in what they went through over about a 2.5-year process, so much of their story was how they sought after God and all that they grew through. So this morning, it's going to be a pleasure, trust me, for you to hear this story. And we're going to open this up at this time, okay?
I'm a native of California. Spent, how long do I have? 50, close to 50 years in California. Moving around and everything. In 2006, I was pursued by Valspar as an employee, and they finally picked me up, and within a month after I hired in, they sent me on a trip to North Carolina, to High Point. as soon as I got off the airplane, I just knew inside that I needed to be here. So I was working third shift, going home in the morning, getting the kids ready, taking them to school, trying to stay awake long enough to get them to school and get back. Then a month later, Diana sold the house in the worst time of the market ever. So during that week of training, every day when I got off the job site at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I met with the realtor and we looked at houses every night. I looked at least 30 houses that night, that week. She was coming out Friday night. Got with the realtor Saturday morning. I told her, I said, this is the house I want. Show this one first. That is the house I do not want. Show that one last. So she showed that house first. Of course, Diana saw it. That was the end of it. It was all over. I didn't get my house. So, but that's the house that we're in now. So,
this, I mean, what's detailed about it is God picked the very house that was meant to be in. And also, we were able to move from California. All wrapped up. God just did the whole thing.
I was out riding around. I went by Ray Fork Elementary, and they were having church. So it's time we need to go try this place out. Mm-hmm. And we did. We've been there ever since.
Been there ever since, and then shortly, I guess within a year, I'm not even sure if it was the first year after we met Dale and Amber, and I joined the praise team. So I've been on the praise team for a long time, so I really miss that. That's how our story begins illness.
It was a really hard year and a half.
First year was very hard.
So many things went wrong with her health.
Well, I can start at the beginning. What happened, I'll just lay the foundation on what took place to kick off this. I was at work one day. I'm an educator, and I'm working at a certain school. And I went into my classroom, and I had some people look at me and say, "What's wrong with your eyes?" And nothing. I didn't feel anything different. I just assumed the pollen and things like that. Being in North Carolina, never had any allergies at all in California until I came here. So I started realizing that, you know, the pollen. Okay, so I dealt with that for probably a year or two. I said, and everywhere I went around the halls at the school, at the elementary school, I had people tell me, "You need to go see about your eyes. Something's wrong." And I'm like, "Well, I don't feel anything different. No puffiness, no nothing." But they were just really almost like bloodshot red. And I said, "Really?" I said, "Okay, let me go to the restroom." When I looked in the mirror, it was not me. I had never seen pupils in the eye, the whiteness of the eyes. Couldn't even see any white. It was just not really bloodshot red. So I really was concerned of the optometrist. So I went to them, and once they did all their, you know, diagnostic on me, they looked at me and they told me. They basically said, "Yeah, that kind of," and I kind of sensed it was the shingles. And what we know about the shingles is if you've ever had the chicken pox, the shingles eventually will come out. It's just the form of the chicken pox. So that's sort of how we got started. And
she started having some here on her shoulder too. Mm-hmm. Real sensitive, real tender.
And the one eye was just really, really, and that's where the shingle came out in the right eye. And it just kind of distorted the view. No pain. I had no issues with that for a little while. Then after that, the little rash broke out. So that really told my doctor that that was the case of the shingles. So that's sort of what happened, and that's my story.
They put on steroids, and her body didn't like steroids. Some point in there, I was at work. I was at lunchtime riding my bike. What else would I do? And I get a phone call from her sister. She's taking Diana to the emergency. The pain was so bad she couldn't take it anymore. So I rolled back to work, jumped in my car, and left. That was just kind of the beginning of things. They tried antibiotics. They tried antivirals. They tried stuff for allergies. Went on and on and on, and everything kept getting worse. I never really knew how bad it was because I'd come home, she'd be laying there on the couch with a towel over her eyes just to keep it cool. I didn't realize the kind of excruciating pain she was in. Didn't even did I realize how bad the situation looked. And finally went to the eye doctor in Wake Forest because they said, we need to get you to a specialist right now. We have to go. And they couldn't get us in that night, so we went the next day. The doctor that was in Greensboro wasn't there, so we had to go to Wake Forest to their eye trauma center. And they started trying all these things. And that was the first time I saw her eye. I was just so... I was so blown away by what I saw. It was hard for me to see that because it was very traumatic to look at. Her eye had been... kind of fused shut. It looked like she had been hit with a fist in her eye. And it was like that time after time again. I mean, there was nothing that they could do. We were going, what, two or three times a week. I was having to take a day off from work, come home, either leave work or stay home, take her to the doctor, have her try something else, have her go back to the doctor a couple days later, have them try something else, you know. And they had her on three or four different medications at a time. The one eye doctor before Wake Forest was the one that was doing the shingles medication. We were told by somebody else that he'd given her the wrong medication. And that guy said he didn't know what he was doing. This guy said they didn't know what they were doing. And he didn't know what was going on, but they couldn't fix it. And the more she took... steroids, it was her pain level between a 1 and a 10 was like a 9, between a 9 and a half and a 10. So, you know, that's just breaking my heart the whole time.
And all in the same token, the eye started deteriorating, the cornea started thinning out. Whereas...
because the abrasion inside the eyelid where the shingles was rubbing on it all the time. Even though she put ointments and lotions and drops and you name it. And then the eye started overreacting and blood vessels started going across the cornea, which obviously clouded the vision.
And then one thing after another, and the eye grew worse because they couldn't get to the part that they really needed to kill that disease.
And the shingles was taken care of, but then it turned to acute conjunctivitis, which eventually went to both eyes. So it was affecting both eyes.
And then all the medication they put me on, they finally got to a point and said, we're out of everything. There's nothing else we can get for you. There's nothing else we can do for you. We have ran out of options for you. So this was one of their final...
In all this time, nothing ever got any better. In fact, it only grew worse. Spent all that money, it only grew worse. And you know, I was reading her scriptures every single day when I would get home. The one about the woman with the issue of blood. Anything that talked about what God could do or what God was willing to do. In other words, Jesus, I am willing. And it says he healed them all. And you know, we just started building our faith based on that.
They actually did a biopsy on the eye. They went in.
And they wouldn't let me in and they threw me out. Because they knew what they were going to do, but I didn't
know. They went in and cut some, the bottom of the lid. Took some strips out so they can do their biopsy, find out what's going on with the eye. Everything came back negative. No more answers. We still didn't have any answers. So as of today, it's been 2.5 years, and as of today, they don't have
any. One guy finally came in, and it was his first time seeing her. He looked at us and said, this isn't good. And he went back and he talked to the other doctors. We'll leave their names out. He came back and he sat down and says, well, you are basically blind in your right eye and you're going to go blind in your left eye. That's just the way that it is because nobody else had the nerve to say that. You knew they were thinking that all the time, but they didn't have the nerve to say it. And we thought, you know what, it's okay. But God, that's what we got. But we had an incredible journey up to that.
Yes, well, it was so cool. It was kind of funny to me. We had such a peace about everything that was going on, even though it was was rough, a rough ride, but we had a lot of fun and we laughed. We would read the scriptures every night. We talk about things. At that point, I was a Miss Church for the whole first year when it was being built. I was like bedridden.
Couldn't go out of the house, yeah.
I could not go outside. I had to pull all the, close all the blinds, keep all the lights off. I mean, it was excruciating pain to even have a little light coming in. I wore the glasses all the time. At night, I would sleep with my towels on my face because I would get a lot of burning sensations. I just can't even explain how I felt and the things that I was going through. We just moved on it, and we walked, I'm telling you, just the grace of God and just knowing my Father God. We walked out of there, we just kind of laughed, and we went to lunch, and we didn't think anything else about it. And that's the journey that we have just chosen. The joy of the Lord is just going to be our strength, and that's just kind of what we came to.
Since then, there's been improvement. She has good days, she has bad days. There's some days when she can see and she can walk around cloudy, but she can see some things. And other days where I'm leading her through the house, and a lot of sometimes it has to do with probably things in the air and stuff. But we as a couple have determined that God is able and that God will heal. And we are approaching him with that daily and thanking him for that daily, knowing one of the journey of faith that we have taken in the last 3 years. I mean, I started out in the kingdom of God, all about faith and everything associated with it. Came to a point where God began to show me a lot of other things. I kind of let that go. I had a very dry period when we were at the church in California, very, very dry period for most public ministry more than I ever had before. But as far as my growth, kind of stagnated. This stirred all this stuff up. And we together have to get into the Word, find the answer to this, find out what it's going to take to get before God, what God's going to do, what he's not going to do, how can we know what he's going to do, and what are the scriptures that back this stuff up, and how do we take this stand. Every day.
And you know, it's not, but for me, it's not about this. It's more of my journey of why I want to get close to the Lord, because I want to know him, not just what's going on. I want to know him. And in this journey, I've been finding out who he is. And every time he turns around, I'm seeing a different side of him that I've never seen before. And that's just been so awesome. I can just sit sometimes and just say, Lord, I just love you. And then boom, just tears would just be rolling. I've never seen that side of God like that. I've never seen that side of God like that. He is just so merciful, and so sovereign, and he's caring. And I can remember walking around in the kitchen in the dark, filling everything for that whole year. Then I would have to go to the restroom, I would have to go get me something to drink. I would not want to disturb him. He would have to get up at 3 something to go to work. I had to try to do this myself.
And leave for home while I...
And then he, when he go to work all day, I'm home by myself. And I could not see, literally just could not see at all.
She matched that for me, because I never even knew that it was that bad until I was in the room one time when she didn't know that I was in there, and she comes walking and feeling her way through. I was like, that just kind of took my breath away, because it took it to a different level than I thought it was. I knew there was a lot of issues, but I didn't know it was to that degree. So that was a challenging day for me. Because she had, and all this time that she had spent at home, she'd learned where everything was. But I caught her in a room that she wasn't as familiar with. And she didn't know I was there, and I saw that, and I just, wow. That was a hard day.
Just knowing that God was just with me, and he kept me, and I didn't hurt myself. And I just felt him with me all the time. Sometimes I would just lay in the bed all day, and he just kept me. He kept my mind. He just kept me. I can't explain it any other kind of way. I had such peace. Who could have peace at a time like this? Only God could have done that. That's when I started to know who he was, the sovereignty of God. And the comfort, just the Holy Spirit just comforting me. I pulled on God like it was just no tomorrow. Lord, if you are real, you have to show me. You have to tell me right now and show me that you're real. And I'm telling you, when I did that, every day God was showing me the next step. I need you to do this today. I need you to do that. This is how I got to where I am right now. God, Holy Spirit, and I heard you preach this before, Pastor, about the Holy Spirit teaching you. And we don't understand. We really don't get it when we ask the Holy Spirit, teach me your ways. Teach me. I can't do this. I'm at this level in my life I've never been. I don't know anything about being sick. I've never had any issues of being ill. For nothing. Perfect record of being healthy. And what was interesting to the doctors when I was there, they all kept looking at me. You're young. There's nothing wrong with you. We can't figure out what's going on with you. You're completely healthy. So, you know, just in that, I know God wants to do something. I know he wants to do a miracle. And that's just kind of real. When I've accepted that, that he just wants to do something in our life, I've been telling my story ever since.
If y'all would please come up on stage. If you would please give them one more round of applause as they come up on stage with us.
No, girl, change your mind.
Okay. There you go. I'm going to give one of these microphones to you, Steve and Dino, if you want to sit down there. Steven has a really loving way of just nudging her around. She says he's pushy, but you know, it depends on how you interpret Scripture. I just want to thank you guys. I heard the video as we put it together this week, and we heard it in this morning service of the 9 o'clock service, and hearing it again. And I think we got the lights right this time. I think the lights a little bit better this time. Good, thank you. But we just thank you guys so much for sharing your story. It helps, right, when we hear someone's story and we see how God works in their life, because then we are reminded that God, if anything, is consistent. And we have the same Holy Spirit in us. And when we hear the evidence of God working, then we say, okay, that is something that God has done. And then that's something that God can do again. That's why we're given. God really gives us that lineup of faith in that. You know, one of our mistakes is when we read Hebrews 11 and we think that is just some people. And it's really all of us. There's been a few things, and those are just some of the details. There were other things that I've heard you guys share, and you even shared the day we did that video, that are not even on there. The story and the challenges and the frustrations of wrong diagnosis and medicines that didn't work and all kinds of things. There's even more to the story than that. But there's also been several things that have really struck a chord as far as when I've heard you guys say them. And I feel like it's something that's so valuable to hear, not just on video, but in person, about your journey of faith and God, your relationship with him, and how he's worked through this. Stephen, I know I've already asked you this once today, and I've heard you talk about it before, but one of the things, hearing it, you know, we hear things a lot of times through our own context. So when I first heard you guys' story, a lot of it I heard through Stephen, because I was hearing it through a husband's perspective. And Stephen, one of the things that you've talked about is you were working an hour. He was driving an hour and a half to work every day one way. So 3 hours on the road every day. And to me, the hardest hour and a half would have been the first one when you had to leave the house. Talk about how just explain what it was that you prayed through. How was it that God really worked in your heart and your life through having just to leave the house every day, knowing and kind of discovering along the journey some of the pain, some of the things that Diana was going through?
Going to work many times was actually the hardest part to do. I realized through studying the scripture that there are two forces that work in our life. One is faith and one is fear. Faith I know comes from God. Fear I know comes from God's enemy and our enemy. And I had to make the decision that either I was going to walk in faith or I was going to walk in fear. And fear hasn't done me any good in my life. So I chose to walk by faith. In the morning when I would leave, I would drive down to the end of the driveway, put the car in park. When I would just take time to pray and ask God, Father, send your mighty, holy angel here now to drive back the wicked one. Put a hedge of protection around this house. Job had a hedge of protection around him and his family. I said, be a shield about Diana and Rita and Vaughn as they sleep. God had said that he would be our shield and our exceedingly great reward. So I felt those things were things that God gave us to ask for and that we could believe for. And I would pray and I'd say, watch over them, care for them, protect them, preserve them, give them safety, security, rest, and peace. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, no weapon formed against them shall prosper, no evil shall befall them. I cast, Lord God, the care of these things over onto you, because I know that you care for them. And when I finished with that, I had a much greater peace to drive to work and know that even though I was going to be gone, sometimes 12, 14 hours at the time, I was working 10 and 12-hour days along with the 3-hour drive every day, and I got to see my wife maybe an hour and a half before I had to go to bed and get back up again the next morning. So very challenging, but it stirred a lot of things in us to draw near to God and to seek him.
And if you think about, we talked about the framework of faith, that faith is proven coming out of test. And you talk about a test, leave home every day with someone that you love so dearly laying there and having to just exist through that day, knowing that that pain and everything was there, but having God give that peace. Because one of the greatest things, Diana, about your testimony is just what your experiences were like on a day-to-day basis as you were there even by yourself. And sometimes anticipating, you know, just having Stephen come home and having the kids around some and hearing scripture and praying. But so much of the time I've heard you share about has been your time alone. And having God prove that so that, like you said it in the 9 o'clock service, leaving a year later was a lot easier than leaving at the first of that year. That our faith allows us, as it functions and it's ours and we use it, it allows us to do some things more often that are difficult that we grow into coming out of that. Diana, you, one of the things that you said at one time that was on camera, but then you also said it a little bit different way at another point when we were videoing. You said that this, meaning the vision issues and the blindness and the lack of vision, physical vision, wasn't about you, that it was about what God was teaching you. It was about what he could do with you and through the situation. And that's one thing to say when it's about someone else. That's another thing to say it when it's about you or me personally. We can encourage, usually if you're like me, I can encourage to a higher degree than I tend to handle well. But you said that, and just if you could talk just a little bit about how you saw God work, what the days were like going from maybe the beginning where it was just all of a sudden you realize, okay, I do have to spend this time by myself, and how God worked in your heart and how your faith grew through that time that you were alone.
Yes. It definitely was a test for me. A lot of times we think God is so far off and that he can heal others and he can meet some of the needs financially and trust, you know,
trust, you know, God, your husband getting to work safe and the children, that kind of stuff. So it was one of those distant kind of God, even though, you know, you do your thing at church, but putting it to the test. So my test was, how real are you in my life? How effective is that going to be? You know, you're in my life. And so I saw a side of God that just became so personal, and that's what I was saying in the video. If you're so real, can you just, I want you to talk to me every day. And I actually was getting to that point where it was a relationship, not just a father that loves you, but it was a relationship, like a best friend. Your best friend, you talk to him about everything. So I started developing God. God was helping me develop my prayer life. I guess I thought I had a prayer life. Ooh. And when the test came, okay, you only talk to me when you want to talk to me, but I need to talk to you every day. There's instructions and strategies and things that I have for you that I need to show you. I need to show you a side of me, and that's what I was saying in the video. Every time he turns around, I'm seeing a different side, like, wow. Example, one day, I have to get myself dressed, right? Well, I don't always look the greatest, right? I don't always match or, you know. Sometimes I had a black shoe with the blue shoe. I didn't know the difference, right? But it was dark. So I was okay with that. I mean, I figure if someone looks at me with these glasses, they'll understand. I understand her. I understand. But seriously, when I would get dressed, every day I started depending on the Holy Spirit to teach me and help me find things. It was just that bad that first year that I had to get myself dressed. I lived in my pajamas. So when it was time to get dressed for the day, because he was coming home to take me to the doctor or whatever we had to do, I had been relying on the Holy Spirit a lot. Okay, Lord, I can't find my earring. I need you to help me. And then he would say, it's in the pocket. You left it in that jacket in the pocket. Well, one day, I was in my closet looking for a blouse or something, and it took me 5 minutes to find it. And I'm like, Lord, I can't find my shirt. Well, that's because you didn't ask me for help. And I laughed. And I mean, I got that relationship where I would hear God laugh and would laugh with me. So it was just that kind of a daily walk. And I'm telling you, I don't miss a beat. Lord, if I can't do this, I need you. If you ain't going to do it, it ain't going to get done. So I need your help. And that's I pull on them. I pull on them, Pastor. I honestly just pull on them. And that's what I love.
Yeah, one of the things, I think the second week that we were in Hebrews 11, we talked about how with Noah and Abraham, how if we are exercising our faith and it's ours, God is going to call us to do something and he's going to call us to go somewhere. And one of the things that really landed on my heart from our first service when we did this, you mentioned that he was calling you and taking you deeper into that relationship with him. And when you said that in that service, I thought, see, that's one that maybe we miss a lot, and I've missed a lot. You know, sometimes we fear where God may call us to, that we lapse on the very place that God calls all of us to go, is deeper into intimacy with him. And when we grow there, when we do get off of that first step as a Christian and that young Christian selfishness where we want church to be exactly like we want it, or, you know, we don't like this, or we hold grudges. When we get out of that realm of, and we grow out of that, we realize there are these different parts of God that we hear and we understand and we see that are just phenomenal. One of the greatest things, too, is you describe your testimony. You still say, God showed me this, and I've seen this. And one of the biggest impacts that I've seen in my life and in my faith from your story in the shorter run is just the reminder. Every time I hear you say that, God reminds me, there are things that you physically look at, Derek, to try to make decisions and try to figure out where I want you to do. But there is a spiritual vision. And if you lack in that area, what we don't see can allow us to not see fully God. Sometimes what we don't stop to see is the very area that God's working in, and sometimes we miss that.
And that's awesome, Pastor. I don't mean to cut you off, but...
No, go ahead. Trust me, I, this morning you can cut me off all you want to cut me off. It's totally fine.
The spiritual eyes, because, I mean, for the whole year, I really couldn't see at all. You could be standing in front of me with a white jacket on, and I didn't see you. I mean, that's just the blindness that was there. But as I walked after the whole year, I started to see it with my spiritual eyes, and I thought that was just scary. I'm like, spiritual eyes, I don't want to be spooky. But I knew what he meant. And when you get into the word and you start to see things, we would dissect the word. I would have Stephen read to me every night because I couldn't read the Bible. And we would go over stories, Job, and just and the lady with the issue of blood, and just all kind of, you know, the blinded eye guy, and just a trust issue with Abraham and his son, just things like that. I was able to see through the spiritual eyes, so that took the focus off what I looked like.
I always wondered what his name was. He's the blinded eye guy. He didn't say exactly, but that was it.
One point when
don't let him take that microphone from you.
At one point when she was going through five or six different things at the same time, we started calling her Jobette.
Yeah. You can say that if you're in the situation. That's one of those things. If you say it and if you're not Diana or Stephen and you say that, you're horrible and people think bad things about you. But when you're in that situation, tell us about your wonderful granddaughter. You shared an awesome story about her and just the relationship that you guys have.
I've been crying all morning already, looking at that video for the solid first year, pretty much, or 8 months. My granddaughter could not come into my bedroom, could not see me. Now, we're very close. I mean, if you see me, you see her. We're just glued to each other. That's my baby. But there came a time somewhere around maybe 4 years old or whatever it was when this happened, I had to stay away from her because it was conjunctivitis. I didn't know just how contagious I was. For almost that whole year, she did not see me. It was very hard for me, very hard for her. And she would just sometimes just come in my bedroom door. Now, mind you, I had to be all the lights off, all dark, pitch black, dark. And actually, like I said, when I got up to go around the room, I could see through my spiritual eyes, and I would get around the room. But that's what the Lord taught me. He taught me just looking through my spiritual eyes. And I mean, literally, no joke, I could see where the furniture was. But that's what he taught, and that's what he did for me. But when she would come through the door, she would open up the door, Grandma, are you okay? You know, I said, I'm fine, babe. I'm just resting my eyes. I'll see you later. So, I mean, I just could not see her. I could not see her. So it was very hard for her. But I want to share the blessing testimony. Around the year that she was about 5 years old, she's seven now. And we were sitting up watching the Jesus flick, one of the movies, right? King of Kings or something, right? And she was sitting at her table with her chair, and we're sitting in the room too. And she started crying, and I'm like, what's wrong, honey? And she said, I don't like what they're doing to Jesus. You know, it was one of those scenes, and I didn't realize it was. So Papa took her. He started explaining to her what that meant. And so I started saying to her, do you want Jesus in your heart? You know, he is just so loving, and he's, you know, he died for us, and on and on and on. My grandbaby received the Lord Jesus Christ. And to add to that, my daughter's man that's in her life right now, he accepted the Lord also.
That's awesome.
So it was outside of coming out of myself to see things, yeah, and to allow the Lord to use those situations. And that's what happened. And I talk about it all the time. So that's part of my story.
That's it. You know, in my life, yeah, when you hear stories like this, and some of you may know that you've lived stories like this, and we know who God is a lot of times. We know the stories. Maybe we haven't experienced it as real, but we know that God is a creating God. We know that the gospel is a miracle in us. We go from being lost and separate and going to perish without God to knowing him. We are a miracle. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, you don't really have to look for the miracle. You can just go look in the mirror. You've gone from death to life. You've been regenerated. You have been redeemed. You have been resurrected into a new life. And we know that happens. And I think in us, because like it says in Ecclesiastes, God has put this eternal hunger in us, that we look and we really know that God can do something. But then when it comes to praying or expecting, I know that you both have said that you have come to the place where you expect God to do, excuse me, a miracle. And you said, Dinah, at the end of the video, you said, God is doing and is going to do a miracle. I've been bashful in my life. You know, I remember being a little bit younger than I am now and praying over great needs. And you almost hesitate because you're like, okay, God, if I pray for you to really do a miracle right now, will you do it? Like, is that still what you do? Have you changed? Or are we just in a different time period now? And maybe, God, if you don't answer it, did I fail you? Did I fail someone else? Did I just miss your plan? And as hard as faith is to define sometimes for us, I've been studying Scripture this week, and one of the things I've really read a lot about and really studied this week, because one of the things that challenged me in just hearing your guys' story is, as somebody that is so blessed to just be around you and be in your life, I didn't want to shortchange God. I didn't want to say, all right, well, let's all meet in the middle of the room over this faith topic, but not go all the way to the walls to say, God, have I gone into an area of my life have I not gone to an area of my life that you really are in? And as I've looked at miracles, and as you look across the Bible at what God does in miracles, there's going to be a definition that's going to be on the screen. And this is a consistent, it's the best definition I've ever heard when it comes to miracles. This is the best definition. And consistently, every miracle you see, it fits within this definition. A miracle is a less common kind of God's activity, because we believe that God is always active. He's working all the time. He's not absent from working in the world. But a miracle is a less common kind of God's activity in which he arouses people's awe and wonder and bears witness to himself. And as I was reading this week and studying different miracles, some of the ones that Stephen, you mentioned, and other ones in the Bible, and I was reading about, you know, really how God works. There's five reasons why God does miracles and why he's done them from the beginning of the time going forward. Here's the five reasons he does miracles. To authenticate the message of the gospel. Jesus did miracles to prove who he was. The disciples were able to do miracles to prove who they believed in and who they trusted and who they followed, who they preached about. God does miracles to prove that he can redeem people. And I believe just because of how you've shared your story, he's connected what you've gone through already with the miracle of the gospel. To bear witness to the fact that the kingdom of God has come and has begun to expand its beneficial results into people's lives. God does miracles so people will hear about Jesus. Their attention will be drawn in, and they'll hear God's story, just like your granddaughter. To help those who are in need. Because ultimately, God, so many times Jesus healed a physical need, and then that person's eyes, their spiritual sight was open to their real need. To remove hindrances to people's ministries, things that would prevent the gospel going forward. And ultimately, they all come under this umbrella to bring glory to God. You know, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus or God or disciples or anyone perform a miracle that wasn't anchored in helping people recognize who God was and how he works. And I want you to know, if you ever want to pray for a miracle, that's exactly the framework that God works miracles in. The people that are in Hebrews 11, by faith, saw God do all those things, some with their physical sight, some with their spiritual sight. God did not put a period at the end of Hebrews 11 and said, oh, well, I'm done doing all that stuff. Jesus said that greater works you'll do when I leave here, because my spirit will be in you. He'll dwell in you. He'll live in you. And it will be multiplied out through the gospel. So one of the things that we want to do as your church family is to pray for you. But we, you know, for God to put it on your heart that he's going to bring healing. That's what we want to pray for as a church family. But we want to understand how God works. God gives us a lot of freedom to pray. But God also gives us a lot of knowledge. Stephen said we search the scriptures to understand, God, what you will do and what you won't do. there's a lot of things in Scripture God said, God will show us, I'm not going to do that. So we don't need to pray for the things that God's not going to do. But I want to believe and I want to have faith as I pray, not with reservation, but with complete trust in Jesus Christ, with faith in Him, that He can heal this. We know that God will ultimately heal in heaven everything that goes wrong here on earth. But I believe that there are times where God will bring healing and He'll get glory, and it is like a steroid shot to the kingdom of God. And if He is going to do this in this situation, I want to be on the list of those that are praying desperately for it. Yes.
If some of this was the reason to bring those two into the kingdom, then it was worth going through this. Because when I finally got to a point, it's not about me. I have to tell my story. I have to keep moving. I can't just get to the wall and quit. I have to keep moving. And wherever I go, I end up telling a little bit of my story. And I remember when Pastor and his wife came to visit us one evening, I said to him, I had asked him a question. You know, we want to do something in the church. We want to get involved. We're not the pew sitters. We want to do something. And the thing that he said, I think you should tell your story. And I've been telling it ever since, as I need to, as the Spirit leads me. But if this was because to bring them into the kingdom, it's okay. I'm going to be all right.
Amen. You know, and that's, yeah. You know, for us, for anybody to get to that point, we obviously know that God has proved Himself in their life. And that's a major step of faith. I know we've got some of our elders and deacons that are in here in the service now, and I asked them to come up here. Dale's going to be coming up here as well. I know, Wendy, if you don't mind, if you'll come up here and stand behind Diana as well and pray. And what we're going to do, and if you will, if you just stand with us, we just want to have a time where we pray. We've been talking about faith, but we really want to pray in faith. That we know that God has already worked. We've seen so many of the evidences of why and how God performs miracles. And I have complete faith and trust based on the testimony of Diane and Stephen, how they've shared that, that they will always give God honor and glory. They will always point people to the gospel. And if He has worked, as she just said, if God has worked to bring two people into the kingdom, then through His sovereignty, we trust that. And if He can redeem two people, if He can resurrect two souls, then He can surely heal. And that's what we want to pray in faith that God does here, because we know that this would match what He's done before. And we want to pray that with confidence and trust that God is going to continue to build the kingdom through each one of us in so many different ways. So if you will, if you'll pray with us, we're going to get around them and pray with them and over them at this time. And if you'll just join us in prayer as I pray out loud. God, we just are so thankful, God, that You are God. You are holy and You are sovereign. Lord, just as Lord, just as Diana said, God, Your sovereignty means You know all things. And God, You even know things. You know the free will that You give us, so You know those that ultimately will reject You. God, and we know that that affects Your heart. But God, we also know that You could see ahead and You knew that through an obedient heart and through faith, that Diane and Stephen would go through 2.5 years of their life. God, they would see their granddaughter and this man come to You, Lord, through salvation through Jesus Christ. God, You knew that there would be times where she would be alone. But God, You knew in Your sovereignty that she would listen. And You knew that her heart would be open, that Your Spirit would be able to not just be in her, but it would be able to work clearly through her heart and through her emotions. God, we want to be people of great faith. We don't want to talk about the great things You've done. We want to experience the great things that You're doing. So God, through the name of Jesus and in the name of Jesus and the power that is in His name, Lord, the power that brought a lady, God, to crawl on the ground just to touch the hem of His garment, believing in faith that she would be healed through what Jesus could do in her life. God, we pray through that power, God, that it would come to Diana and, Lord, that You would bring healing to her eyesight. God, we ask that you would do that physically for her. God, for the testimony that she's already opened her eyes spiritually, you've done that for her. God, in what she's seen, your power can work, Lord, through her. God, we ask that our faith would not keep us at a place to where we would be bashful about praying for miracles. But God, we would understand through your word, we would grow in our faith to understand what a miracle is and why you do it. So God, to grow the kingdom, Lord, to meet her need, God, to ultimately bring you glory. Lord, we would love to hear the testimony of how healing has come. God, we pray desperately for that. We pray believing in that, God. We don't pray because we don't have a deep faith in you, God. We've studied your word, and we know what you can do. You have created this earth that we live on. You've made us physically. You know, Lord, more than any doctor, how we work. Yes. God, to answer all the confusion that the doctors have come out with, they don't have answers. Even God, in that testimony from them, Lord, we have seen some of your answers, and we've heard them this morning. So God, in great faith and through the power of the name of Jesus, we together come and pray for one single thing so we, God, know that we're going to hear from you on this. Lord, we're going to see what you do in her life. And God, everything, every step, every moment and year from now on, Lord, we trust and we ask for the grace and the mercy that you will give for Diana to continue to point people to Jesus Christ and him alone. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you please give them a hand again? Thank you so much. It has been a privilege just over the last year and 9 months for us, I know, as a family, to get to know Stephen and Diana, to get to know a lot of people here at church. We've been able to share some of what our journey's been like in Christ. We've heard from a lot of people. But on a weekly basis, as a church, we all find ourselves in places of need. Maybe you heard Diana's story and you heard how Stephen explained it this way. He said that the blood vessels have grown across her eyes, and then there is a physical barrier to her good eyesight. But then you heard how God has opened her eyes to see so many different things. Maybe what is blocking your spiritual vision, or has been, is not blood vessels across your eyes. Maybe it's been the weave of hurt across your heart. Maybe somebody just didn't keep their promises to you. Maybe somebody that you were supposed to be able to trust just became untrustworthy. Maybe you've got a difficult physical diagnosis. Maybe you've looked at your life and you finally wrestled to the place to where you say, God, I just don't think that it's sin that brought this. So I can't just keep punishing myself, but God, I don't know what else to do because I simply don't know how you're working here. God, through our faith, wants to respond by helping us see spiritually what he's doing. And I know they've had a chance to share this morning, and Diana and Stephen, thank you for doing that. As we sing a little bit, or as much as God leads us in Lord, I Need You Again, we want to open up this time, and I'm sure they'll kind of change some things as far as the lights go, so just try your best to not get distracted by that stuff. But as we open up a time, and there's nothing specifically holy about this place right here up front we call altar, but if God's Spirit is in us, when we come to any place and we kneel and we say, God, I can't carry this anymore. It's just too much. And then God responds with that, okay, thank you for realizing that, because in my word, I tried my best to tell you ahead of time, and if you didn't catch it the first time, I'll put it on rewind. You were never meant to carry all that you're just struggling to carry. And I'm here as your pastor to just tell you, the weight of this life is too much for us. There is one amount that God will just simply lift off of us and carry beside us and allow us to carry His yoke. It's not removing the problems. It's having a true and holy and perfect God carry us so every muscle that we have does not have to be engaged. There is what He wants to do inside of us through His truth and His Spirit. And I want to invite you to come up. And I want to challenge you to bring anything that you think you've messed up to God, your life included. Bring any hurt. I'm not telling you that magic happens here. I'm telling you that there is a step that begins a faithful walk with Jesus Christ, and then miracles happen, and then He works into your life. And He brings peace when nobody else can offer it to you. I'm asking you by faith to move off of young ground in your Christian walk and grow and believe and trust and lean. I mean lean, full weight. We talked about this with the kids the other week. I had one of them just lean on the other, and we laughed about them falling. I'm telling you, spiritually, begin to lean your full weight into God and all that He can do in your life. As we worship, if God moves in your heart just to sing out praises, then sing out praises. If God's really working in your heart to come forward and pray, pray with someone, just pray by yourself, come with someone, then follow Him. I'm just telling you, faithful following, you never go wrong. I'm just telling you, let's be faithful in this moment. You've heard a greater message than I could have ever preached on this. And I'm as hungry as you are. But I want my hunger for God to grow. And not just grow, but to start to be satisfied in a way that I've never felt. God, we want to worship You this morning. We want to open up a place in the front of our church. And God, because You instructed Your people to build a place and to go to a place and devote it to You where Your name is called holy. God, we want to arrive at that place this morning. We don't want to just feel emotional because, God, all of us in this room, we have felt emotional in our lives and we have felt burnt out by those emotions. And those emotions, so many times, God, have not taken us anywhere. What we are asking God for is not a movement in our emotions, but we are asking God that You work greatly in our faith. God, help us through the testings that have gone on in our life and are going on right now. Help us to see the proof that You are bringing. God, we pray again in the name of Jesus and the power of Jesus that You will bring healing physically in Diana's life, that You will restore her sight. Lord, You have given her spiritual sight, but God, God, for her love for You, God, I pray more than anything that her spiritual sight, no matter what would happen, would only grow. And God, I thank You for a testimony that would say, God, I believe, God, that she would say these words, God, if anything would cause me to lose my spiritual sight, I don't want that to happen. So God, for us, help us to hunger after You and help us to desire You and help us our eyes to be lifted spiritually. Help us to bring our needs and our cares to You. Help us to worship You. Help us to be honest about God. Every hour and every moment of our life, we need You. But God, also help us through faith, not just believe, but to realize, help us to tell our story. Help us to see You work. Help us to begin this morning. God, I pray that through the gospel of Jesus, if there's someone here, God, that has not come to faith through Jesus Christ, if they don't even know what we're talking about in faith, God, that they would understand this morning that they have done wrong. And sin is what we call the things that we do wrong. And sin is impossible to bring into Your presence, God. That they would understand that even though the consequence of sin is death and separation from You, God, that was not what You were satisfied by. And that the gospel of Jesus Christ that has come out through this condition that Dinah has is that believing in Jesus and confessing Him as Lord, to praying to You, God, to receive Jesus is where salvation begins. And then there's new life in You. The greatest moment is not just even in that moment of redemption, but it's in the life, God, that You're leading us into, that You're growing us in. God, help us to celebrate that life. Help us to humbly confess to you in this life. Help us to pray over our needs. Help us as a church, God, to not be program driven. And help us to not arrive this morning as the church, but help us to understand that what we heard was part of our story. And we are your church, and we're here to worship you and to give our lives to you. And to be broken in front of you, God, if that's what we need to do. God, to humble ourselves so that you will heal. God, help us to remember that in your word it's clear. Only through humility comes healing. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen.